couldn't see the light. I was hanging on a string. I threw the dice, didn't win a thing. I've been down, I've been blue. I need some drug to get me through. Sarah Quell, you're where I'm at. Sarah Quell, you made me fat. Sarah Quell, can I stop you? 'Cause being fat makes me blue too.
You're listening to 3CR on International Day of People with a Disability. Hi, I'm Helen Gwilliam. I recently had the pleasure of attending a forum in Melbourne called Building Inclusive Communities. The forum was presented by VALID, the advocacy group for adults with intellectual disability and their families, which is based in Fitzroy, and the Victorian Inclusive Community Development Network. The forum was opened by the poet and author Sandy Jeffs. Sandy is an extraordinary poet and communicator whose work vividly depicts her experience of schizophrenia, which she's lived with for nearly 40 years. Sandy describes herself as a public loony, which has to be one of the best job titles ever invented. This is Sandy Jeffs.
Back in 1976, I was diagnosed with schizophrenia, and back in those days, it was an absolute death sentence to be given that diagnosis and a dire prognosis. And I even remember one doctor telling me at that time that with each episode I had, I would go deeper into madness from which I'd never recover. So it was a fairly dire prospect that we had. And so after lots of hospitalisations through Parkville, Arundel, all these sort of places, during those chronic years, I started documenting my madness in poetry. And I just want to read from my memoir what writing poetry meant for me back then in those chronic years, because it was really important for me, because when I was diagnosed, the first thing that happened was I lost my identity, and then I became invisible in the world. And then I just felt like a shadow in the shadows of other people. That was just the most awful feeling. But when I wrote a little poem, as I held that poem in my hand on that bit of paper, what that poem was for me was evidence that I was still alive. It was testimony to my existence, and I really needed that back in those days. So I did start. I kept writing poetry, and I kept doing it. And I'll just read from my memoir what writing poetry meant in those chronic years. Throughout these chronic years of my madness, another voice talked to me, but it was not the voice of my madness, nor that of the great writers who I was reading about. It was my own voice, and as one to which I was compelled to listen. Its language was poetry. From some dark, distant part of my unconscious, poems emerged, trailing onto blank pages with their own lively patterning. But for a long time, I just left them in a drawer. While I do not have the abundant fertility of a Baudelaire or Virginia Woolf, I felt the inspiration that creativity can bring for all of us. It may not cure us of our madness, but it can give us a window through which we can peer into ourselves to understand our own complexities. It is also a way of piercing the remote world of others who have been touched by madness. Poetry, art, and music, which are already on the margins, are safe ways of exploring the marginalised mad experience. Oh, and the artists who have done it well have spoken for all of us in an articulate and unique way. In poetry, we utter the unutterable, speak the unspeakable, say the unsayable, express the inexpressible, and sense the insensible. My hope for humanity lies in the creative impulse. I have faith there is a poem in every heart. And I really believe that there's a poem in every heart. We all have language at our disposal. Therefore, I think we can all write a poem. So I just want to share a few poems with you that I've written over the years. I'm reading from the Mad Poets Tea Party now, and I'll just begin with the first poem in that book, which is called The Mad Woman in This Poem. And there's a quote by my friend Gudrun Hines at the beginning to begin it, which goes, "Yet how stupendous a psychosis in which God is heard." I love that. The madwoman in this poem lives on the 22nd floor of a block of flats, her husband and children gone. Each day she waits for a letter that never comes. Her wrists carry a flurry of scars, her arms are dotted with cigarette burns. Every day she contemplates jumping. The madwoman in this poem walks the streets, reciting Shakespeare and Milton. She shelters in bus stops and doorways, scrounges through rubbish bins, drinks from discarded beer bottles, begs for money to buy cigarettes and a moment's respite. The madwoman in this poem slumps into a ramshackle chair, hiding herself. Her large, torpid body founders. Her heavy breasts gush a drug-induced lactation. Her body grows with each anti-crazy pill she reluctantly swallows. The madwoman in this poem transfixes in front of the TV, absorbing its many messages. Ellen McBeal is her daughter. Eddie McGuire can read her mind. Ridge and Brooke are talking to her, are going to come in a helicopter, take her to Venice to meet Brad Pitt. The madwoman in this poem lives in a holy grotto, awaiting the pilgrims. She carries the burden of Eve, smells God in the toilet, sees the Virgin above the lintel, has given birth to the new Messiah, carries the secret of the Holy Grail in her heart, was raped by the devil, sees maggots wriggling in her stigmata. The madwoman in this poem is sure Beethoven stole the 9 symphonies from her, cannot walk on the cracks of the pavement, can feel spiders eating her brain, fears her head is about to explode, is going to the firing squad next morning, is a character in a Bruegel painting, is an oracle of the dead. The madwoman in this poem is every woman, is any woman, is a mother, daughter, sister, lover, friend. The madwoman in this poem is me. So, being the madwoman, she's been medicated. I've been medicated. And I was lying in bed one night and I just thought to myself, I was ligatled. And suddenly the names of all the drugs that I've taken over the years became verbs. And so I wrote this poem called Medicated. And I've been all these drugs at some stage, and I'm sure I've missed some. I've probably missed half the ones I've been on, actually. But anyway, medicated. Roll up, roll up. Join me on the medication trolley. I've been on it for years. I was ligactled with bitter syrup. I was pimazided and malaruled and numbed. I was so stelazined, I was like a cat on a hot tin roof. I've been medicated into a shuffle and clozapined into a stupor. I was serenaced to drowsiness and abilified to sleeplessness. When I was risperidoned, I lactated like a cow. They cogented me to stop the lookups, but I kept looking up. I was lithiumed and epilumed to even my pendulum. I've been imipramined, prothioidined, lexaprode, effexored and zolofted to happiness. I was valiumed and ativaned into tranquility. At bedtime, I was mogadoned, stilnoxed, and temazepam to slumberland. Now I'm zyprexed and ravenous and fuzzled. I'm lamotrigined and balanced and Sarah quelled. Yes, indeedy, I'm medicated and dedicated to the medication trolley. Here's looking at you, pill bottles. There you go. I've always thought that my mind is occupied by a lot of characters, and unattractive characters, I have to say. So I wrote this poem in using the idea of Occupy Wall Street. It's called Occupy My Mind. And there's a quote by Theodore Rothke to start it, which goes, "The loneliest thing I know is my own mind at play. My mind is occupied by commies, anarchists, socialists, feminists, greenies, liberals, Nazis, fascists, republicans, monarchists, unionists, economic rationalists, tyrants, dictators and despots. There are thieves and con men, delinquents, murderers, rapists and other crims in there too. Is occupied by Jesus, Judas, God, Satan, Tweedledum and Tweedledee. My mind is a full house. I've hung out the no vacancy sign. My mind is overflowing, full to the brim, chock-a-block, filled up the pussy's bow with the weightiness of being. My mind is a dangerous place, an oc health and safety nightmare. Put on protective clothing and stand clear because my mind is occupied by a suicide bomber and is about to explode." That's it, that's my mind. And I've always thought that my mind waged war against itself too, so I wrote a poem called Waging War using all the imagery of the First World War. It's just a simple little poem, but it's I think it sort of says a fair bit. Waging War. A mind is a theatre of war. Tanks rumble across the synapses. The Light Horse Brigade charges through the frontal lobes. mustard gas poisons serotonin and dopamine. Artillery barrages neurotransmitters. The armies of reason and insanity face off. Dispatches from the psych wards report fierce fighting. The casualties are mounting. No prisoners taken. What will the war memorial say? They gave their sanity. We honour them. This is not the war to end all wars. A mind wages perpetual war against itself.
You're listening to 3CR, 8:55 AM, and streaming live on 3cr.org.au on International Day of People with Disability. We're listening to the poet Sandy Jeffs performing some of her work from her best-selling book, Poems from the Madhouse, at the Valid Building Inclusive Communities Forum recently held in Melbourne.
Yes, it's a poem I wrote some time ago now. It's called Hello, Is Anyone Out There? And it's pretty self-explanatory, so it's about calling the crisis line. Thank you for calling Crisis Line Inc. We provide a service to help you streamline your breakdown. Press 1 to continue, press 2 to quit. If you are having a minor breakdown, our service is not designed for you. Press 1 and quit. If you're having a major breakdown, press 2. If you have private health insurance, press 1 and speak to a counsellor immediately. If you do not have private health insurance, press 2. To continue your call, please enter your Medicare number followed by the hash key. Please enter the 4-digit expiry date on your Medicare card followed by the star key. Press 1 to continue. Your number is 21036415643574981823264269590006332 expiry date 05/17. If this is correct, press 1. If this is incorrect, press 2 and start again. If you are totally confused, press 3 to quit. If you have a diagnosis of schizophrenia, press 1. If you have a diagnosis of bipolar disorder, press 2. If you have a diagnosis of depression, press 3. If you have a diagnosis of borderline personality disorder, press 4 and quit. If you have no particular diagnosis, press 5 and quit. If you're just a little sad and lonely, press 6 and quit. If you're questioning your sexuality, press 7 and quit. If you're having an existential crisis, press 8 and quit. Thank you for accessing our schizophrenia line. Press 1 to continue, press 2 to quit. If you are hearing voices, press 1. If you're hearing visions of the Virgin Mary, press 2. If you think you are Joan of Arc, press 3. If you are getting messages from the television, press 4. If you're having paranoid thoughts and think you are linked into an intergalactic computer, press 5. If you think there is a world conspiracy to exterminate you, press 6. If you think we can help you, you're obviously delusional. Press 7 for a prescription for antipsychotic medication. Press 8 for hospitalisation procedures. Press 9 to quit. If you are seriously suicidal, press 1. If you are merely attention-seeking, press 2 and quit. If you'd like to hear this message again, press 3. Sorry, the computer cannot confirm your call. Sorry, the computer cannot confirm your call. Sorry, the computer cannot confirm your call. If you are dead, please have your partner press 1 to quit. Thank you for accessing our service. Your receipt number is 5998-6634-7006. If you do not call again within the next 24 hours, you may be eligible for 20,000 frequent flyer points. Do take advantage of this once-in-a-lifetime offer. Have a nice day. So there you go. So I've just got two more poems to finish. One's a very short one. I tick a lot of marginalised boxes, I have to say, and I wrote this poem called Calling Dr. Phil. It's about being marginalised. It's very short. I've been diagnosed with a serious case of normality. My shrink says I'm a hopeless case. She's given me anti-normality medication, but it doesn't cure the condition. So I called Dr. Phil. He suggested I try CAT, Cognitive Abnormalising Therapy, or better still, become an unemployed, mad, lesbian poet. I just want to finish with a homage, my homage to Larundel Psychiatric Hospital. As Paul said, I describe myself as a relic. I'm a relic from Larundel, basically, the old psychiatric hospital on the outskirts of Melbourne. What writing poetry did for me, though, was when my first book was published, which was Poems from the Madhouse in 1993, I went from being totally and utterly invisible in the world, with no identity, no hope, no meaning, no purpose, to suddenly having an identity, which was poet. Not that I go to people, hello, I'm a capital P poet, but I knew in my bones I was more than my label schizophrenia, and being published actually validated me as a poet, and that changed my life incredibly, I have to say. I found visibility again, I found purpose and meaning. So I, not that poetry has cured me of my madness, but it's given me a hook to hang on to live in this world, which is very difficult. So this is my homage to Larundel. It's called Alice in Larundel Land, and the name comes from a pantomime that was performed there in 1979 by the staff, and it was written by Len Blair, who was the then chaplain. He wrote the pantomime and called it Alice in Larundel Land, and the staff performed it. It's an extraordinary moment in Larundel's history. So this is my homage to Larundel. Alice fell down a rabbit hole and landed in topsy-turvy Larundel land, locked up, captive to lunacy and a passing parade of mad hatters and march hares, eccentrics and musos and artists and a poet or two, and ordinary folk with the deepest sorrows and inconceivable lunacy, sharing delusions like needles, voices babbling in the background, ECT before breakfast, Stelazine for lunch, Prothiodine for dinner, Melorol at supper time, and to bed with a hallucination and a moggy. A place full of hunger. Hunger for kindness, friendship, love. A curious, secluded world, its dark side kept well hidden. Shadow-haunted inmates longing for peace with themselves, no one knowing the wars that rage within or the deep pain wedged between spirit and flesh, destroying lives, friends and family picking up the pieces. Larundel Land's red brick walls now rubble, windows shattered, graffiti telling another story, a playground for vandals and urban explorers, once peaceful gardens dismembered. Sombre ghosts roam the precinct, calling us to remember them. We will remember you, sitting in smoky rooms, crying alone, laughing with deranged angels, muddled and paranoid, chaotic and manic, anarchic and confused. Prisoners stalking locked wards, keys jangling, medication trolleys rumbling into melancholic rooms, and the humour, the blacker than black humour. The cut through all the crap and misery, humour. You will not be forgotten. We shall erect a monument to commemorate all who passed through Larundel Land. We will remember the hellhole and sanctuary, the bottomless pit of despair, unexpected place of healing. Alice landed on her head in upside down Larundel Land, the madhouse that once stood on the edge of town, where time dawdled and everyone hid in the shadows. Thank you.
Sandy Jeffs, poet and self-described public loony, speaking at the Building Inclusive Communities Forum in Melbourne. I was lucky enough to speak to Sandy at the forum about taking pride in yourself and your differences.
Sandy, you're very out there about owning and using the word madness. Do you think it's important to really own our difference if we're going to create inclusive communities?
I think it's important to be out and proud and not be ashamed of the labels that are given to us. So I can call myself mad and loony and loopy and all those words because I'm giving them to myself and I'm owning them. And rather than being ashamed of being mad, I'm saying I'm mad and I'm proud of myself. I'm not ashamed. So it's mad pride, really, in the way that we have gay pride. Same sort of thing. A lot of my mad comrades, as I call them, use the word mad about themselves because it's saying to the community, you might want to call me mad and be stigmatising of me for being mad, but here I am saying I am mad, but I'm not ashamed of who I am.
We're talking a lot today about how to be included in the community. And I'm wondering whether it's as much about making the community we want rather than being included in something that doesn't seem to be all that keen on us all the time.
The community isn't very keen on mad people, I have to say. We have all these PR disasters for schizophrenia and then having the diagnosis paranoid schizophrenia, so it's really tricky. How do we get the community to want to share with us our lives, and how do we ignite in the community compassion, respect and understanding? And when I give my talks publicly to, you know, community groups, it's all about compassion, respect and understanding, and saying to them, here I am, I have a label schizophrenia, but I'm not a monster. And because I'm not a monster, you can engage with me as I can engage with you. And it's about breaking down the barrier of them thinking that I'm a monster because I carry this really baggage-laden label, and showing them that I am just someone struggling with a mental illness, but I want to be included, and I don't want to be a victim of your stigmatising, judgmental attitude.
This show's going out on International Day of People with Disability. Is there anything you'd say to the disability community for that day?
Well, mental illness has a bit of a hard gig, I think, in all forms. And I think that, I suppose it's about saying accepting difference and accepting different behaviour and accepting difference in other people. I suppose within the disability sector, is there a hierarchy of disability? I don't know. Are there judgmental attitudes in the disability sector itself? I don't know. But I just know that mental illness, because it's an invisible disability, because you can't see the broken brain that produces the behaviour that we show sometimes, because it's an invisible illness and an invisible disability, it's hard for people to accept that we have an illness and that we have a disability. So even in the own sector, it's about people accepting us for who we are. And generally speaking, society doesn't deal with difference at all well. You know, how do we break down those barriers and say to a wider society, it's about accepting difference in all its manifestations. And because I have a mental illness, you know, I have a different difference. But, you know, we can be challenging with our mental illness. Our behaviour can be very challenging. And we can do inappropriate things, and we can be naughty, and we can do, you know, so we can be challenging. So it's about seeing through the challenging behaviour and seeing it's a product of the illness, not the person being a badly behaved person.
Thank you very much, Sandy. I really appreciate your time.
Thank you.
Couldn't see the light, I was hanging on a string. I threw the dice, didn't win a thing. I've been down, I've been blue. Need some drug to get me through. Sarah, quell your where I'm at. Sarah, quell, you made me fat. Sarah, quell, can I stop you? 'Cause being fat makes me blue too. Sarah, quell, you gave me hell. Seroquel, you made me swell. Can't you give me something else? Give me peace, help myself. Seroquel, you're where I'm at. Seroquel, you made me fat. Seroquel, can I stop you? 'Cause being fat makes me blue too. Seroquel, you promised me sleep. Seroquel, your empty claim was cheap. Seroquel pledged to help me in bed, but you did nothing, made me fat instead. Please understand, it's not our fault. We'll take a stand. We'll all revolt. Most people know someone who's unwell. Just give us a dose of Seroquel. Seroquel, you're where I'm at. Seroquel, you made me fat. Seroquel, can I stop you? 'Cause being fat makes me blue too. Seroquel, you're where I'm at. Seroquel, you made me fat. Seroquel, can I stop you? 'Cause being fat makes me blue too. Seroquel, I hate you.
You've been listening to Sandy Jeffs, poet, author, and Mad Pride advocate. Sandy has written many collections of poetry, as well as a memoir called Flying with Paper Wings, Reflections on Living with Madness. You can find out more about Sandy's books at spinifexpress.com.au. And the song you heard during this programme was Seroquel by Steve Pollock. We'll bring you more of the Building Inclusive Communities Forum this afternoon. Stay listening to Access All Areas, 3CR's all-day broadcast for International Day of People with Disability, with you until 7pm tonight.
for downloading a 3CR podcast. 3CR is an independent community radio station based in Melbourne, Australia, on the Kulin Nation. For more information and to find out how you can support 3CR, go to www.3cr.org.au.